think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Pacquiao Bradley 3. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number. You should use that to text us today, though. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. Comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number. If you missed the first hour, had Jim Lampley on. We had Vegas Dave on. And we kind of
talked Sergey Kovalev.
And Sergey Kovalev, yeah. Which I highly recommend for the entertainment value, simply because a Russian accent's always funny.
It's the best.
And yeah, he's still learning English. He's trying. And he's just a nice guy. And he just knocks the crap out of people. So all that available on podcastarena.com. And reminding you once again, we are in Las Vegas at the beautiful MGM Grand for Pacquiao Bradley 3. Weigh-ins are going on right now. So I'm guessing in about 15 minutes, when everybody comes in here, our internet's going to die again.
I'm sure.
That's usually what happens, because they all come in to do their stories and reports right after the weigh-ins. But those are going on now about, I'd say 100 yards from us. But before we get to the Baylor thing, Tim says SportsCenter was stirring up some crap earlier, implying Durant will end up in Houston and Russ soon after. I'm not privy to the relationship between James Harden and Kevin Durant. If they're lovers, maybe. I think that might happen then. But every team out there is going to be speculating on trying to get Kevin Durant, okay? And I just don't see it. I don't see it. And if I'm wrong, I'll be wrong.
Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong too. And like I've said this before, it's not like I've got Kevin's phone number and we text, but I covered Kevin in college, and I kind of got to know a little bit about him, know who he is, and he has different priorities than James Harden does.
Yeah. And although who knows?
Times have changed, for sure.
Times have changed, and I don't know how close those guys are. That would be the only reason, right? Would be that.
But you know what?
Not they're really lovers, but that they're just so close that they want to play together. But if I'm Kevin Durant, why don't I pick? Well, I don't know about the Lakers, because that's not the Lakers anymore. But why don't I pick some other high profile place and then bring James Harden along in a couple years?
That probably makes more sense. Yeah,
but if I'm not going to say there's no way it ever happens, because I don't know the relationship, but I do think
there's not enough basketballs for James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant to play together. Now.
No, not anymore.
There was when James Harden was a sixth man, getting very few minutes.
Yeah,
relatively very few minutes.
This is the kind of thing that's designed to get the fan base all excited and get clicks on it. Oh, look, it could happen. How many of these stories do we see every day? I just think, you'll be eating your words when he signs here. No, I won't be eating my words. I'll say, you know what, I was wrong.
Yeah, that's fine.
If that's
fine,
I'll probably be eating.
But who are you? What are you going to say if he doesn't sign here? Are you going to go, whatever? That's the thing. Don't tell me I'm going to eat my words, because you're not going to say anything. You don't have to. You're not going to come on Twitter and apologize for saying you thought stupidly that Kevin Durant was going to come to Houston with Russell Westbrook. So I don't care.
That's one of those far-fetched. That's something that Skip Bayless would just say.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Baylor.
Let's talk about Sean Oakman. This is a bummer, because Sean Oakman is actually a dude that, as far as a football player, I really like. I mean, it's hard not to with just he's so physically imposing.
His potential is amazing at the NFL level.
But his home was searched this week by authorities in a sexual assault investigation. And the alleged victim met Oakman at a bar in Waco, and Oakman invited her back to his place. Once inside, the victim said, or the alleged victim, told police that she had her clothes forcibly removed, and Oakman forced her onto the bed and proceeded to sexually assault her early Sunday morning, according to a search warrant. Oakman told police the sex was consensual. No charges have been filed as of Friday morning, and the investigation continues. His agent says that he's cooperating with the investigation. This is... Listen, I don't want to just say, well, they got him. You know, happens a lot.
And
while I will say that a lot of the times these reports are accurate. A lot of the times these women say things they might have done something they regret, and then they in a way to make themselves feel better about it, they blame the guy. So it goes both ways. Maybe Sean Oatman's innocent. I really hope he is. I really do. But there's no getting around where this happened and the kind of culture that has apparently been built there.
I don't know. I want to be careful with these because, again, we don't know. And a lot of times, yes, a lot of times this really happens. And then a lot of times somebody, like you said, they have regrets about something. It's like, oh, well, maybe. Right. And a lot of times alcohol is involved and it gets confusing. But considering all the things, and it does happen where people say, hey, well, the guy's going to be a big NFL star. Let me get some money out of this. That happens. Not saying that's the case. We don't know. We don't have enough information. But at some point, especially if you're there, with all the things that have happened, you've got to be much more aware of how you do anything. Somebody needs to be making these guys aware. And this is a guy who's going to the NFL draft. And it's not going to help his stock, that's for sure. So, yeah, and again, it's just like there have been a few that have happened that were suspicious, and we said at the time, you're going to have to wait and see how it plays out. But that headline's out. There's still people that think Patrick Kane's a rapist, even though that whole story was basically fabricated.
Yep.
So
I'm telling you, it's one of those things that's hard to get your name off of. Like once it's out there, it's hard to take back, and now Sean Oakman's name is out there, unfortunately for him.
And I we'll see what happens, but somebody in that program needs to get control of things. And whether it's education and the fact that it's at a religious school, my goodness, aren't you supposed to be instilling better values? If this is a values that your religion is instilling, maybe you need to question yourself a little bit.
Well, let's also remember that Sean Oakman transferred to Baylor after he got kicked out of school at Penn State for stealing.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're necessarily holding themselves to the higher standard. No. It's like, oh, you've been dismissed from the team for stealing, for shoplifting. Well,
yeah.
Let's bring this guy in.
Well, but that's again, that gets back to the price of competing at that level.
No doubt.
And you have to take guys sometimes that aren't the best guys. But I want to wait and see how it plays out. But it's another black eye on that program, and it certainly is a bad look for him.
I wonder if this is the kind of thing that could eventually just force him to move on from Art Briles.
Well, the one thing I would say about that is, here's another question. What the hell is he still doing in Waco? If I were going to the NFL draft, I'm not living in Waco. I'm somewhere training.
Right.
And someplace in Florida, Houston, Austin, some city that isn't Waco.
Yeah.
Plenty of women there. Shannon says, I have a buddy of mine that met Axl Rose in the lobby of the Excalibur Hotel, and he was already hammered. Going to be a great show.
Sweet.
Wow, Axel's staying at the Excalibur.
No way. No. That's why I kind of doubt it.
I'm going to be suspicious of that. Speaking of sex stories and college basketball.
Oh, I saw this. If you're going where I think you're
going. Yeah, I'm going to Pat Summitt's son, Tyler, who is a 25-year-old head coach of Louisiana Tech. He resigned this week.
Yep.
Says, with great regret that I resigned from my position as head coach of the women's basketball program at Louisiana Tech University. I am profoundly disappointed in myself for engaging in a relationship that has negatively affected the people I love, respect, and care about the most. My hope, plans, and prayers are to repair those relationships. I'm appreciative of the opportunity I was given to coach at Louisiana Tech. I am heartbroken that my time has ended in Ruston, which has not been said by very many people.
No.
But because of my respect for the institution, it is best that I resign. I'm hopeful the media and public will respect the privacy of my family and me as we deal with this difficult situation I have caused. Well, he's been married since 2013. He's 25 years old. And the report is that he got one of his players pregnant.
No. Well, that's not good.
I got to say that's a no-no.
That's not good.
That is an absolute no-no. I don't care if you're married.
That's definitely not good. Well, listen. Everybody makes mistakes. It happens. You may want to invest in condoms, something like that, if you're going to be spreading it around.
Yep.
May want to take some sort of precaution. I don't know. But this is a guy who clearly shouldn't be coaching women's basketball.
No, he should not. At 25 years old.
He's 25?
Yeah, he's 25 years old. Yeah. Head coach.
No, he shouldn't be doing this.
And he shouldn't get another head coaching job. Frankly, he shouldn't get another job in women's basketball.
No.
I mean, that is as bad a screw-up as you can possibly have. Forget the fact that he got her pregnant. They got pregnant.
Right.
But the fact that he's the coach banging a player, that's about as bad as it gets.
Yep.
All right. Before we go to break, I got to tell you about SeatGeek. This is an awesome, awesome site, awesome app for your phone. It's the first place I go to look for tickets. So that's why I was looking at how much the Guns N' Roses tickets were earlier. I went to SeatGeek. You're never going to miss a deal. You can even set alerts for upcoming games or events, and SeatGeek will let you know if ticket prices fail. You want to go see the Astros home opener? Go to SeatGeek. You want to fly out here tomorrow and see Guns N' Roses? Go to SeatGeek. How about the fight? Same thing. And every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value, so you can immediately find underpriced seats. And before you buy, you use SeatGeek's detailed maps to see the view from where your seat will be. So if you want to go to the Astros, you'll know exactly where you're going to be. They're always honest and upfront about the price. Unlike StubHub, SeatGeek shows you the full ticket price from start to finish and never surprises you with huge fees at checkout. And I'll tell you what, that app works great. You can do it right there from your phone. Don't wait to get your tickets on SeatGeek because the best deals don't last long. Download the free SeatGeek app or go to SeatGeek.com and grab your favorite tickets before they're gone. That's the free SeatGeek app or SeatGeek.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Pacquiao Bradley 3. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, where the weigh-ins are going on right now. Cedric said, wait, a girl basketball player sleeps with a guy? Oh, sad. Yeah.
I don't get it.
Just to clarify, he's a 25-year-old head coach who slept with one of his players, which, dude, you can't do that if you're coaching a women's team. That's unacceptable. And Jones said, going back to the Oakman story, what do you suggest? Should the 21-year-old male not have any sex with anyone? Not at all. You make sure it's consensual. What happened to that concept? And I don't think it's fair yet because we don't know what's going on. And he easily could have been doing that. And this might be one of those situations where somebody's looking for something. So we need to see what happens. But
and this is just me. If I were a guy who was about to
cash in big time,
about to make a payday, I would find someone that I trust and have a relationship with. And
that I have a past relationship with, too.
Have an ongoing sexual relationship with that person.
Yeah.
And not just bang random chicks from the bar because you don't know random chicks from the bar, and that can get you in trouble.
Yeah.
And listen, I know banging random chicks from the bar is probably more fun. I get that. But if having that fun is worth and let's already face it, his draft stock is going to slip. No matter what comes out of this, draft stock down. There's no question. And all it takes is an accusation to put draft stock down. And if draft stock drops you from the end of round one to round three, you're talking millions of dollars and years of guaranteed money. So I'll pass on that extra fun, and I'll just
I'll
bang one chick repeatedly for a while until...
Or even two. Two or three even, as long as you know them.
Or people you know and you trust.
Right, yeah. That's and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there really isn't, if that's what you're into.
Did you see what Stephen A. Smith said today?
No, I did not.
Stephen A. Smith thinks Dwight Howard's out of Houston, which that's no huge, you know, revelation. He also believed that Rockets teammates are sending him the message they don't want him around anymore. He points to the fact that Howard hasn't hit double digits in field goal attempts in 13 games, and they just don't want to give him the ball. He's making $22.5 million this year, supposed to be part of the team's big two with Harden, yet Howard's been largely a bystander over the past few weeks. He hasn't hit 20 points in 15 games, in the last 15 games, and hasn't reached double digits in scoring in 7 of the team's last 13 games. When that's supposed to be your secondary option, that's not good. And, of course, the Rockets have lost 7 of their last 10. They now trail the Jazz by 1.5 games for the last playoff spot. But Stephen A. thinks that Howard's worn out his welcome, and he will undoubtedly be gone. That $23.2 million player option, nobody thinks he's going to opt into that. So, although I would say I don't think he'd get more money elsewhere, but he probably can because that's the NBA. They'll pay anybody.
Yeah.
You used to be good. You might be good.
Yeah.
Max deal. Boom.
Yeah. So I mean. I don't know if it sounds – I mean, it sounds feasible at some point. I've said this all along. They don't feed him the ball enough. But it doesn't really matter. I mean, they're just not any good. And that's part of the problem is all this dysfunction. And you know what? Maybe Kevin McHale was holding some of that together and did it for as long as he could. Ryan asked, not that anything out of Baylor shouldn't be scrutinized, but do you believe women should go to jail for false accusation? There should be a punishment for women that make stuff up. But you have, I think, just like proving it, you'd have to prove it. Because, again, a lot of these situations wind up being kind of gray.
Yeah.
And it's not as simple as, oh, he did this, or she's lying. Sometimes there's a little bit of truth to both ends of it. And, again, and especially in Baylor, I just think you have to wait and see how it plays out. But it's obvious that there's just too many of these incidents. And sometimes, and I'm not saying this is happening here. Sometimes people see that something like that happens and they say, oh, wait, me too.
Right.
And I don't like all the Cosby accusers. You think all of them are telling the truth? Every single one of them?
I don't know. I mean, but I think it's way more likely that they're all telling the truth than Bill Cosby
well,
is.
Frankly, 99% of them telling the truth is bad enough.
Right.
But I also don't know that, you know, I just don't know that all those that I believe all of them.
That's fair.
I mean, you just I think most of them are, but it's real easy for somebody to look at that and say, oh yeah, that happened to me too. By the way, did you see how the Yankees finally responded to the John Oliver's last week?
What's the move?
On their video board yesterday, they posted, "Thanks, John Oliver. Everyone is welcome at Yankee Stadium," including Donatello and dragon people and shark people. But that was a funny bit.
The only people not welcome there are people who have tickets on their smartphone.
Exactly. Well, let's face it. We probably don't belong with the crowd we're hanging with tonight.
Yeah.
So we got to fake it a little bit. I got to get to this because I don't know if we're going to have time before the show's over. Sam Hinkie's resignation letter.
Uh-huh. It's like 13 pages.
And it got leaked, which I hate it when that happens. But 13-page resignation letter?
Yeah.
Who does that?
Sam Hinkie.
Hey, but what are you telling me in your 13 pages? You've had 3 years here to sell me on your vision, mm-hmm. to tell me about your process. And now, what are you going to tell me that's different? Basically, I'm telling you, it didn't work. You're fired.
Bye.
You give me your resignation letter. It says, I've enjoyed my time here, blah, blah, blah. And that's it. 13 pages?
That does seem a little excessive.
I don't want to read 13 pages of anything about somebody leaving. Unless if it's my wife, I just want to hear, I'm out of here. Boom.
Yeah, see ya.
One line, thanks. But that's just crazy. Somebody asked, does anyone have Cosby in the death pool? You know, we should have done a death pool this year because we missed out. Because this year has been rough on celebrities.
Yeah.
And you realize how high the point totals would be?
Oh, absolutely.
Although I don't know that anybody would have had Bowie because nobody knew he was sick.
That's true. He did keep a pretty good secret.
Some of these guys have done that. But
Merle Haggard we would have known probably.
Yeah, Merle Haggard would have been on some lists. Bill Cosby belongs on some lists.
Probably should.
Yeah.
Because if he ever does get locked up, he's probably going to kill himself.
Yeah. Yeah. And that counts.
Yep.
All right. We are going to take a break. We come back. It's RJ Bell time. Because it's 5:30 on a Friday. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Put that on sale. Take me back to the shack, back to the start with the lights. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. All right, we are back on the Blitz, and you know what that music means? It's 5:30 on a Friday. Time for RJ Bell pregame.com. The exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press now. Terrific website with pregame.com. And RJ, I have to tell you, we're out here in Vegas. We haven't seen you yet. Two of us are going to Guns N' Roses tonight, by the way. Did you get in on that?
Mr. Jones. Well, wait. Well, that's Mr. Brownstone. Okay, I'm thinking.
Mr. Brownstone.
Mr. Brownstone, yes. Yeah.
Dancing with Mr. Brownstone.
Yeah, he's been knocking. He won't leave me alone. Well, but, yeah.
That's at the Hard Rock. Is that right?
No, it's at the new arena.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, they did like a, they did like 2 weeks stand. Like they had 12 shows in 2 weeks at the Hard Rock recently. But interesting.
Yeah, but then they put the real band back together. So that's what this one is. Just a way for them to make more money.
Well, so. Why not, right? The Stones are still playing.
Yeah, exactly. How many farewell tours have they had?
I don't think the Stones have ever said that, though. They've always kind of been like, we're going to...
They always say, we're rocking.
Yeah, we're going till the end.
Until one of them dies, which miraculously they're still hanging in there.
If it's not Mick or Keith, they'll be fine.
They can keep going, yeah.
Yeah, Charlie Watts goes, they'll just replace him with a guy they pay by the show, you know, like $700 a show.
RJ.
more money for Mick and Keith, Charlie Watts gone.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's talk about this fight a little bit tomorrow night, which is why we're out here. But Pacquiao, a decent favorite. And I was kind of wondering, I thought that Bradley might get a little closer come to fight time. But your thoughts, what do you think that number's going to do here as we get closer to the fight?
Well, almost always, and there can be exceptions, but almost always with a fight, you get a movement towards the underdog, where the underdog price gets worse as you approach the fight day and then, you know, throughout that day. Because here's the rationale. Someone walks up, doesn't know much about fighting, doesn't even necessarily understand the money line, but they're going to want to bet this fight for $20. They say, well, how much Pacquiao? I know he's the bigger name. How much does he, you know, how much do I have to bet? And they're like, well, you got to bet $190 to win $100, let's say. And he says, I don't like the sound of that, right? And then the next question is, well, how much if I bet the underdog? Well, 100 wins you 170. And it's like, oh, give me that. And you literally get that mentality, which is they'd rather bet a little to win a lot than a lot to win a little. Now, in point spread sports, they're able to say, I get the better team and I don't have to lay extra. That's the key to the spread, right? Patriots favored by 11.5. They still get Tom Brady, and they only had to lay the 110. That's why the public loves favorites. They love to bet the better team. In boxing, it's one or the other. You either get the bigger name or you've got to lay a lot to win a little. And between those two phenomenons, they'd rather not lay a lot to win a little, even if it means backing the lesser name. So my guess is, now this sometimes will be different, my guess is this drifts down where Bradley goes, let's say, from plus 170 down to plus 160 or plus 150.
Let's talk about the Masters. How much action does that see? I know I saw a lot of people in the books here this week betting on it, but how much does that get, and how much movement do we see day to day in the favorites based on how they play?
Well, first off, by the way, just backing up for the fight one second, is I actually like Bradley a good bit in this fight. I was a rare minority that thought Bradley won the first fight. And I know, literally 29 out of 30 people felt otherwise. But it was an interesting phenomenon because that fight, I actually watched it on HBO. And there was a video or Showtime, I can't remember. But there was a video going around. And they said, watch this fight. It was that fight after it was over, obviously. And they said, but watch it with the sound off. And the video actually took, so you couldn't hear the announcers. And then they would show sections of the fight with the announcers and without the announcers, no sound. And it was shocking because, back then especially, Pacquiao was such a big name, right? And he was really, really good, considered to be one of the best, if not best, pound-for-pound fighter. And it'd be something where Bradley would hit him twice, and they're like, oh, Pacquiao, avoids a major hit there. And then he'd hit Bradley, Pacquiao, and it'd be like a strong shot from Pacquiao. But if you actually watched it, it really wasn't like that. And again, I know I'm in the minority there, but to me, even when, Pacquiao was a much better fighter, I felt like at minimum it was a very close fight. So I think right now, if these guys didn't have the name, Bradley, which isn't a very well-known name, and Pacquiao, which is extremely well-known, I think this fight is much closer to pick 'em. And I think you're getting a lot of value with Bradley because of the big name factor.
I actually agree with you on Bradley, but I will say this. You're the second person in the entire world that thinks Bradley won that fight.
Who was the first?
I know that we've talked to?
Yes.
Timothy Bradley.
Yeah. And this is coming from a guy who made a pretty significant bet on Bradley in that fight and cashed pretty well. So
disagreed. Well, listen, you could have
No, I bet on Bradley in the first fight, and I'm betting on him tonight.
But you're saying you got lucky. You shouldn't have won that first bet, is what you're saying.
Yes, I absolutely don't think I should have won that bet.
You know what's funny about that first fight was you can actually bet in-game or in-event boxing. So after the first round, you can bet after the second. And literally after the last round and before the decision, you could have gotten 20-1 on Bradley, so which was a much bigger payout than entering the fight. So you're right. Everyone thought otherwise. And when you're an extreme minority, it's hard to believe you're correct. But again, I think there's real value on Bradley. Real quick on the Masters, here's what I'll say. Is, in general, people like to bet who's going to win. It's that simple, right? I think Spieth is going to win. And you got to, entering, for example, the tournament, $1 won you $9, so 9-1 underdog on Spieth. McIlroy was 8-1. Day was 7-1. So Spieth was the third favorite. And then what you end up getting is the serious bettors, the professionals, they like to bet the matchups. Whereas it's golfer A against golfer B, and golfer A's minus 130. And what you can do, especially with the Mickelsons, with Tiger when he's playing, is there's such a name recognition, again, with those two especially, you can get real value where there's a lesser-known golfer, significantly lesser-known, that might be a little bit better, and you're getting one plus 130 because of the lack of name recognition relative to Tiger or Mickelson. So to me, the matchups, you can really zero in on underrated versus overrated. Now, one of the books here in town, the Westgate, very ambitious when it comes to here in Vegas, when it comes to fight or golf props, especially on, events like the Masters, which is the biggest bet golf event of the year. So, you get some of that. One of them was like, yes, no, would there be a hole in one? And it was actually right around even money, yes or no. But for the most part, the recreational bettors are betting who's going to win. with a certain, you know, obviously long shot payoffs for pretty much everyone. Though it's interesting, back in the day, Tiger, during his heyday, it was literally Tiger versus the field, where Tiger would be like minus 110 and the field would be minus 110. He was that amazing. Imagine today, the number one guy entering the tournament day was 7-1. I mean, just how much more dominant Tiger was. And then as you progress each round, there's new odds. And what is very surprising, especially after the first and even after the second, is if there's a guy that was, let's say, 200-1 entering, and after the first round, that guy's one shot back or even in the lead, he'll still be 20 or 30-1. So those one-day wonders, you would think big adjustment on the odds, and they are big. You know, to go from 200-1 to 20-1, let's say, is a huge adjustment, but still big, big long shots. Now, as you reach after three rounds and there's only 18 holes to go, then it becomes a lot more about the scoreboard.
The presidential odds you send us every week, and every week they seem to be getting a little bit tighter. Well, I mean, is this something that it changes every week with the as new states go through, or how does Vegas come up with these numbers for the presidential odds?
Yeah, big betting on this, and I mean, really big, but not in Nevada. They actually, one of the local guys here, Jimmy Vaccaro, legendary bookmaker, he really pushed about 2 years ago, let's start accepting presidential bets in Nevada, and the commission, the state commission, said no ultimately. But in Europe, the biggest books, and quite frankly, these big European books make the Vegas books look small because sports betting is so big in Europe, and they are huge on political betting, you know, over there and in America, millions and millions of dollars. Trump right now, right around even money to win the to win the Republican nomination. Now, about 5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, Trump was minus 600. So 4 or 5 weeks ago, you have to bet $6 to win a dollar. Now, pretty much a dollar wins you a dollar. So, you know, he was 100-1 when he started. So it's been a roller coaster, but it was pretty much improve all the way to minus 600, and now it's coming back. Not so much because he hasn't performed well, because Wisconsin, you know, being an aberration, he still performed very well. But here's the difference. When Trump was minus 600 for the Republican nomination, the sense was that things were going to go the way they typically do, which is once a guy gets to Super Tuesday and beyond with a dominant delegate lead, the party says, yeah, in theory, the second guy or the third guy could come back. But that bloodbath of trying to be competitive all the way through June with each other only sets us up to lose in November as a party. That's the way the party typically thinks. And what you'll get is, and think back to Romney and like Newt Gingrich back in 2012, at a certain point, not long after Super Tuesday, everyone but the leader drops out and they coalesce behind the party. And the implication is, wink, wink, if you're number two, the next time you run, we're going to support you. And Republicans have been very good historically, at least from the party's perspective, of kind of seeing who the front runner is, coalescing behind them, and not having a, you know, internal bloodbath, you know, Republican on Republican crime. Now, what you're getting this year is, they are so, and based upon if you're a Trump fan or not, either so scared of him stopping the gravy train if you're a fan of Trump, or so afraid of him being an erratic kind of potential president, that you hear this never Trump movement, which means even though he's got a big lead, they are fighting him every step of the way, Cruz and the party. And thus, he still is favored far over anyone else because he has this delegate lead, but it's not going to be an easy road to the 1237. And that was one of the drivers of his odds getting so bad. I was thinking, improve. What's the opposite of improve? They've gotten worse significantly because of that effect. One last thing. Paul Ryan, right? Speaker of the House, isn't running. 6 weeks ago, 150-1. 150-1. Right now, 14-1. So the idea of a contested convention and Ryan being the white knight that rides in, obviously the betting markets think that that's something that's getting much more likely.
All right, that's RJ Bell, pregame.com, joins us every week. Check out the website. It is terrific. If you haven't, most of you are very familiar with it. RJ, appreciate the time as always, my friend, and hopefully we'll run into you sometime this weekend here before we get out of town.
Yeah, I'm going to text you guys right when I get off the line.
All right, man. Good talking to you. All right. Guys, I got to tell you one more time about my good friends at Texas Mattress Makers. And spring cleaning time, it's time to clean out that old mattress and get a new one. And there's only one place to go, Texas Mattress Makers. And they're going to get you a great bed that's custom fitted for you, the way you sleep. And now they're going to help you save a lot of money this spring. The Queen Pillow Top sets start as low as $245. Those normally retail for about $479. The King Size, $349 at the factory, where you'd spend around $680 elsewhere. And they're all available in different feels, soft, firm, or hard. It all depends on you. If you like a hard mattress and whoever you're sleeping with likes a soft one, they can hook you up. They can make that for you. That's what they do at Texas Mattress Makers. This is high-quality stuff they're doing, and you're saving money because retail stores mark up the price. You're going to save 50% at least if you go to Texas Mattress Makers. A lot of times you're going to save more. They might have even bought these mattresses from Texas Mattress Makers and then sell them to you. Well, that's not what Texas Mattress Makers does. They make them, you get them directly, and you're saving money, you're sleeping better, you're getting a quality product. Why would you go anywhere else? Handcrafted quality mattresses, Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price, guaranteed. Yuval and his gang over there, they know everything about these mattresses. They're going to hook you up. Texas Mattress Makers is at 4619 Navigation off the corner of Lockwood and Navigation on I-10 East. Tell them I sent you. They love the Blitzers. They'll take care of you. TexasMattressMakers.com.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Pacquiao Bradley 3. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. You know what? Because we love the people, I'm going to give something away. I have got not one, but two Pacquiao vs. Bradley duffel bags to give away. So caller 10 and caller 15, you're going to win a Pacquiao Bradley duffel bag. Two of boxing's biggest superstars, Manny Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley, will collide in a mega fight for the welterweight championship tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central. Get the fight live only on pay-per-view. Callers 10 and 15. Apparently, I have confirmation that Axl Rose was at Excalibur.
All right.
So your buddy is telling the truth. I'm just a little surprised.
What if his buddy is the same guy who confirmed with you?
Well, then it's not really confirming it then. It's just, oh, they actually trust this guy.
I know, but what if he's full of it?
No, I trust this guy.
Well, I do too, but I mean, even guys I trust a lot make up stories sometimes.
Yeah, I don't think he'd make that one up.
Okay.
So, all right. Congratulations. We got to do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, this is actually from the Austin American Statesman.
All right.
So would you consider that trustworthy?
Sure. I mean, a lot of guys that work at the Statesman.
Yeah, I think it's the Austin American Statesman's website. The story is actually from Kansas, mercifully. I would not want this to be a Texas story. Where a two-year-old boy is slowly recovering after arriving at a Wichita hospital. He was not breathing. You'll never guess why.
I probably won't.
He had an octopus lodged in his throat.
Oh.
His condition has been updated from serious to good. He hasn't shown any signs of injuries. But his 21-year-old mother found her boyfriend performing CPR on the child when she returned home. They rushed the boy to the hospital. He attempted to explain how the octopus got stuck and the boy injured, but police said his statements didn't match evidence. There was a 2-inch baby octopus stuck in his throat and injuries to his face. The octopus appeared
How's
to be intended
happen?
For sushi. The cops are speculating that he shoved it in the kid's mouth.
Oh, well, that happens.
So anyway, that is just terrible story, but an octopus? Really?
That's a hell of a murder weapon.
Yeah. Death by octopus.
That's right.
Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
830 asks, can I buy your audiobook on iTunes? I got a gift card for days, and we all know nobody actually buys music anymore. No, we are not on iTunes. It's, frankly, what they charge for us to do it. It's not worthwhile. We'd have to charge you too much for the book. So there are gift cards available on our website, though, for Shopify. Lamont, I want to go back to something he said. It's funny how John Oliver can clown the Yankees as if he's mingling with the common man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure John Oliver is sitting up there in the 500 level.
Yeah.
Plus, he's English. They already think they're superior to us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Even though I think we had a war about that once.
Yeah, and I think, pretty sure.
Pretty that sure the ended, USA won.
I think that ended the discussion.
Pretty sure we were the winners.
What are the odds that one of the giveaway bags is the one you quote-unquote lost, LOL, for 502? No, I really did lose the bag. I liked the bag. I was going to use it. I needed a new gym bag. It was going to work out great. But one of those morning guys or afternoon guys or weekend guys is walking around with a nice new Pacquiao Bradley bag.
Hard times.
Yeah. So they went with bags this time instead of shirts. That's a good call because we got enough of those jackets.
Yeah. Little baseball news.
Yes.
Kyle Schwarber. Are you familiar with his work? Kyle Schwarber now out for the entire season after that collision yesterday in the outfield. Torn ACL, torn MCL. He got the double on that. And at first they were like, well, there was no structural damage to his ankle, which they were excited about. But then they checked out his knee today, got an MRI on it, and Kyle Schwarber, dunzo.
That's so tough.
That's a big blow to the favorites. This guy who hit 16 homers and 230 at-bats last year.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. Come back, we'll get hour number three cranked up. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.